Let's open up in prayer, and then we'll start. Dear Lord, thank you for this Wednesday and the time to get together. And I pray as we look in your word, you would give us wisdom as we've been studying, and then we'd seek to just take steps to grow in our walks with you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, it's time to resume Life 101, a study in Proverbs. Yeah, absolutely. It's evolving. I don't know how this is going to look in a couple weeks from now. You never know. Just complete mayhem in the classroom. All right. Let's start with this, everybody. Let's start with some review. Okay? So, there's Alberto. We've been studying in Proverbs and seeking to paint a picture of what does wisdom look like, what does foolishness look like, and how do we go from inexperience to wisdom? That's the whole purpose of the book of Proverbs that Solomon says right at the beginning, to make the inexperienced, the simple, wise. And this book takes you on a journey in that direction. We've looked at two topics so far. Yes, Rachel. Yes, you may. I just happen to have a couple of pens right here. No, I probably shouldn't. Anyone else need a pen?
I don't.
All right. There you go. Mr. B will pass them out. All right. We've looked at two topics in the study of Proverbs. Can anyone raise your hand and tell me one of the lessons or areas that we have looked at? Jocelyn. Advice. We looked at listening 101. Remember that? Tell me about a wise person's listening skills versus a fool.
Good.
How, Tony? How are they good? They're receptive to what?
Communication.
What's that?
Criticism.
Communication. Good. Yes. Great. What about the fool? How's the fool's listening skills?
Very
bad. Yes. Yeah, he thinks he's all good. I don't need any room for growth. I don't have to listen. I don't have to learn. In fact, he only takes pleasure in expressing his own opinion. You remember that proverb? What was the other thing that we learned? We looked about listening. And last week we looked at?
Speech.
How much does a foolish Alberto talk? A lot. And the abundance of words, sin is not lacking, Proverbs says. What about the wise Alberto? Yes.
Mm-hmm. Is it true?
Mm-hmm.
Is it right time?
Mm-hmm. Right time and how, right? How am I saying it? Right. Good. So the wise person is more intentional with his words. It's not that he doesn't talk. It's that he puts a guard over his mouth so that only what needs to be said is said. And he makes sure that it's the truth, that it's in the right setting, it's the right time, and it's said in the right way. Well, I hate to say this, but the lesson we're talking about today is something that I did not enjoy studying. Because I was not pleased with how convicting it was. It's really annoying when the Bible's convicting. It really is. But that's exactly what it's there for. That was a joke. It's a great thing to be convicted by the Word of God. We're going to talk about laziness. Laziness ain't work. Yeah. Work 101. Yeah. Please do it later. You feel too tired for it, Tony? Yeah. Work and laziness. Oh, man. Prepare. Lazy Alberto. So we'll look at laziness and work and see what the book of Proverbs has to say. Let's start off with a question. Raise your hand, tell me, when is it the hardest for you to be diligent? Tony.
When you have the ability to not.
That's great. That's actually a very good answer. When you have the ability to not. In other words, you're most diligent when you know you have no other choice.
Have you been working for 4 hours?
Yeah, yeah. But you know, so like, if you have the option, I could either work at something. Or I could not work at something.
Exactly.
That's right.
Don't.
Don't. That's a great. That's a difficult way. Yes, Grant.
When you
Okay.
When you want to do something else.
Yeah, absolutely. And especially when the thing that you have to work at is not something you particularly enjoy.
Like sometimes I'm reading a book that I like, and mm-hmm. my mom says go to school work, and I'm like,
you don't want to do it, right? You're doing something else.
Yeah.
Good. Yes, Elijah.
I actually find it harder for myself to be diligent when I have a deadline.
Really?
Yeah. It's just really hard for me.
Does it like stress you out? Like
Yeah, it stresses me out, but like I just don't get it done. Like I have a research paper due this Sunday.
Confession time. All right. Okay. You mentioned procrastination. How many are procrastinators?
Everybody.
Everybody is a procrastinator. Oh, man. You know what? Let's just talk about laziness tomorrow.
All right.
Yes, Addie. What does diligent mean? It means staying at a task, working hard, focusing, seeing it through. Okay. All right. What else? When do you find it most hard to be diligent? Any other thoughts? Yes, Jocelyn. What's that? Ooh, anyone else like that? When you're required to do something, and you're like, I don't want to do it now. Right? Just the. Yeah. It could even be something that you enjoy doing, but then or you enjoy it, but once it becomes required, then you're like, I don't want to do it anymore, right? Yeah, Adam. Yeah.
And like, you know, being diligent about it is depressing. I don't know why.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, especially if it's something that either is difficult.
I guess it's when it seems like it's more than you can do, but if mm-hmm. you have to do, you just like go into it like there's no way of finishing.
It's like a bottomless pit, right? Yeah, absolutely.
Like, take this bucket of water.
Right. Yeah. And just, will it ever end? Will I be successful in it? Maybe the task is too daunting. Addie's still on the dad jokes over here. Anything else? Is that a hand, Mr. B?
Well, I was thinking. I mean, just an idea. Maybe it's the opposite of that. Maybe sometimes when it seems like it's a useless task.
Okay.
There's no value in doing this.
Right.
Why do I even care?
Right.
So I support myself.
Yep. Yeah, you don't see the meaning in it, Grant.
So, like, I play violin, mm-hmm. and my mom wants me to practice every day.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I'm most of the time don't get around to it. And I think that's why, because I enjoy
right.
playing violin, but, when she says, come on, you need to do it.
Yeah.
That's like, it just takes.
The joy out of it. Yeah, I've been there. Practicing piano is the same way for me. Yeah.
I have learned through these slew of answers that we are just lazy and we're not lazy. And there we go.
Lesson over, right? All right. Yeah.
My mom, so along that same line, right, again, I played trombone in high school.
Yeah.
Made a job out of playing trombone for 20 years. And right. my mom asked me, like, and after the first year, she was like, so have you taken what you love to do? And now you hate to do it because you can't do it on your time and your like. And the answer was no. but yeah, that like
that happens for some people.
The idea of having to practice and like again, 20 years of playing music that I didn't care about and it's not like it. I was like enthusiastic about playing it, but I get paid to play it. So
right there, you go. There you go.
Yes.
Let's rewind and start over. There we go. All right. We'll press on. So the reason why I said I didn't particularly enjoy studying for this lesson is because I'm lazy a lot. And and the book of Proverbs is not particularly kind to lazy people. Proverbs isn't like, hey, maybe you should think about not being so lazy. No, like, the book of Proverbs makes fun of lazy people. It literally does. It uses sarcasm. It's very blunt. And I think it's because in the book of Proverbs, the lazy person is kind of considered the epitome of foolishness. The ultimate foolish person. And we all struggle with laziness. We all struggle with motivation. We all get discouraged when we find a task difficult and long. We all have a tough time getting out of bed sometimes. But when Proverbs talks about the lazy person, or the slothful person, or the sluggard, all right, it's kind of a weird word, the sluggard. What is a sluggard?
Lazy person.
A lazy person. Yeah, well, yeah. But it's, I mean, what images pop into your head when you hear the word sluggard or slothful?
Sloth.
Oh, a slugger. No, sluggard with the D at the end. Yeah. So this would be someone who loves laziness, just loves sleep, loves nothing else. And so the book of Proverbs is going to give us some vivid descriptions and warnings about laziness. And as we look at this, just ask yourself, either am I the sluggard? Am I the slothful person? Am I someone who's characterized by just living in laziness? Or if it's just a back and forth thing, like sometimes I'm lazy, sometimes I'm not, look at these descriptions as this is a warning of I need to make sure I'm staying on guard about this and staying focused. Turn to Proverbs chapter 26. Proverbs chapter 26. We're going to use this as kind of the introduction to how the book describes the lazy person. And you'll see what I mean when I say the book of Proverbs is not very kind to lazy people. All right, book of Proverbs chapter 26, verse 13. The sluggard says, "There is a lion in the road. There is a lion in the streets. And as a door turns on its hinges, so does a sluggard on his bed. The sluggard buries his hand in the dish, and it wears him out to bring it back to his mouth. The sluggard is wiser than his own eyes, than seven men who can answer sensibly." This is what he describes in these verses. First of all, the crazy excuses of the sluggard. In verse 13, the lazy person is inside, probably sleeping, right, doing something like that. And someone comes up and says, "Hey, you need to get up and do your schoolwork. You need to get up and do your job." And he says, "I can't. Why not? There's like a lion outside. And if I get up and go out, I'm going to get mauled and eaten." Right? And obviously, it's a ridiculous example. It's supposed to be ridiculous. It's supposed to be sarcastic. That the lazy person will think of crazy excuses to get out of work. Have you ever made a really crazy excuse to get out of work? Right? Have you ever had a job to do and you think of the most random thing to do just to put it off? Like, oh, it's time for me to vacuum the ceiling. Right? I haven't done that in a while. Just something that is completely pointless and you think of some random excuse to put it off. The next verse talks about the constant sleepiness of the sluggard. It says, "As a door turns on its hinges, so the sluggard on his bed." What's that saying? What is the only thing a door does? It just moves back and forth. It's the only thing it's good at. What's the only thing a lazy person is good at? Turning from one side to the other while they're sleeping, right? Verse 15, the pathetic lack of motivation of the sluggard. He buries his hand in the dish. So that's saying he's eaten his lunch and he takes his spoon, right? Scoops up some food and he's like, "Oh, this is so much work to bring my food back to my mouth. I just don't feel like it," right? And again, it's ridiculous. But this is the characteristic of the lazy person. And finally, the arrogant stubbornness of a sluggard. The sluggard, the lazy person, is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can answer sensibly. So not only is the lazy person coming up with excuses, constantly sleepy, pathetic lack of motivation, but they're stubborn about it. They think that they know what's going on. They think they know. They think they know what's best. So this is laziness, and we're going to see some more verses in Proverbs that continue to describe it. But again, as with every lesson, we want to start with the fear of the Lord. How does the fear of the Lord impact how you view laziness and hard work? Any thoughts there? Can anyone think of a way that having a fear of the Lord should impact this area of laziness in your life?
You're wasting the time He's given you.
Good. You're wasting the time that He's given you. That? All right. Anything else?
And resources.
Good. What else?
God's not lazy.
Remember, everything begins with a knowledge of who God is. And in the opening pages of Proverbs, We talk about how wisdom was in the very beginning with God as He created the world. God is a God of work. And I'm actually going to quote from the illustrious Michael Berryman. All right. What's your middle initial, by the way? Michael T. Berryman, the famed theologian, on a lesson entitled The Fear of the Lord that I think that he shared here. He said this, or at least it was in his notes, because he sent me his notes. He says, being frozen in indecision or indifference shows a lack of proper fear in God's purpose and sovereignty over your life. Right? So profound. So wise. That's why I put it in there, because I thought it was a great quote. It's the idea that as you understand God's sovereignty over your life, it should actually push you toward not indifference and indecision, but action. Even risk in some ways. That the fear of God and a knowledge of Him should drive you to that position. God has a purpose and a mission for you. You were created to accomplish something. You weren't created to sleep. Right? You weren't created to eat donuts all day. Don't make the mistake of thinking that trusting in God means sitting back and doing nothing, not doing anything, right? Yeah, Grant.
But didn't God rest on the
He did. Yeah, absolutely. And that's a great thing to point out. We're not saying that rest is bad, right? God gives His children sleep, the Bible says. God gives His children rest. Rest is such a good gift from God that He commanded His people, you must rest on the seventh day. Why is that not laziness? Any thoughts there? Why is that different?
Because God told you to do it.
Because God told you to do it. That's a great answer. It's commanded. But why else would you say this might be different?
There's such thing as overwork.
Okay. There is such thing as overwork. Very good. So you could work and expend your energy to the point where you've wasted all your energy. You need that rest. What were you going to say, Grant?
I was going to say, because you're supposed to, part of that agreement, mm-hmm. You rest on the seventh day, mm-hmm. is you will be working.
Yeah.
All the others.
Right, yeah. So he didn't say rest for 6 days and work on the seventh. He said work for 6 days and rest on the seventh. You could also say, too, what did God do when He rested on the seventh day? He looked and He enjoyed all of the work that He had made. And actually, if you look in the book of Ecclesiastes, it says that the thing that man finds joy in under the sun is taking pleasure in his work and the fruit of his labor. So that there's actually enjoyment in resting and enjoying the fruit of your work. Saying, I accomplished, I worked hard, and now I get to enjoy the fruit of my labor. That's actually a biblical concept. That's actually something that we're called to do. So this isn't saying no rest, just, you know, the grind, just constant work all the time. No, but it's saying beware the love of laziness, where you're inactive. You're wasting all the time and resources that God has given you. So, let's look at foolish Alberto, shall we? All right, so what are some characteristics of the lazy person, the sluggard, that we see in the book of Proverbs? Number one. Can't be depended on. Can't be depended on. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 26 says, like vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to those who send him. Vinegar to the teeth. What this probably is referring to is basically sticking, if you try to drink vinegar, right? This bitter, sour reaction. It's not very enjoyable. Smoke to the eyes, irritating. Have you ever gotten around a campfire and the smoke just goes whoosh right in your eyes? Kind of stings a little bit. Saying that's what it feels like for someone to commission a sluggard to go accomplish a task. Because they won't do it. Or they'll go and you're waiting for them and you never hear back from them. They're undependable. Right? There's no greater frustration for an employer than a worker who's too lazy to be depended on. Giving him something to accomplish only leads to frustration. So what's Proverbs saying? If we're going to be wise, don't develop a reputation of someone who can't be counted on. When your parents give you a task to accomplish, accomplish it. If someone asks you to be somewhere at a certain time, be there. The lazy person, what is the lazy person doing? The lazy person is only concerned about what they want in the moment, and they run on their schedule, right? Whatever I want. When I feel like going, I'll go. When I feel like doing, I'll do it. And what results in you become a source of frustration to those who are depending on you. And ultimately, the lazy person just can't be depended on. Ask God for His grace to help you be a dependable person. What else is true about the lazy person in the book of Proverbs? He spends his energy on things that don't matter. You may think, wait a minute, I thought the lazy person doesn't really expend energy. Well, that's true. But the Proverbs also says that when he does expend energy, it's stuff that isn't worth it. Proverbs 12:11 says, "Whoever works his land will have plenty of bread, but he who follows worthless pursuits lacks sense." There's this contrast here. A lazy person has no direction, no substance, no mission, no purpose, right? Where we get from our relationship with God. God is the source of our purpose and our mission. If we don't have that fear of God, if we're living a purposeless, directionless life, then the lazy person will follow after pursuits that have no direction or substance. That they're just following worthless pursuits. Whereas, just like we mentioned, the person who works his land will have plenty of bread. They get the reward. They get to enjoy the fruit of their labor. What else is true of the fool in Proverbs? Doesn't follow through and finish the task. This is one that I really got convicted on, because I do this sometimes. Proverbs 12:27, "Whoever is slothful will not roast his game, but the diligent man will get precious wealth." What's that saying? Game is another word for an animal, right? So the hunter goes out and kills an animal so that he could have food. So the lazy person gets up, goes out and actually goes through the work of killing an animal to prepare to eat, but he won't roast it. He won't cook it. He gets like halfway there and he's like, "Ah, too much work. I need a rest." And then he never roasts his game. But the diligent man will get precious wealth. Again, you see this reward. You see, hard work and diligence actually has a reward to it. Says that again here in Proverbs 14:23. "In all toil there is profit, but mere talk tends only to poverty." The lazy person will talk about everything they need to do. Right? "I got so much stuff to do. Ah, my life is so busy." Are you doing it? No, but I got a lot to do. I'm talking about it. That means something, right? No, that only leads to poverty. But in toil, in work, there is profit. Always wants, but's never willing to work for it. The lazy person always wants, but is never willing to work for it. Look at Proverbs 13, verse 4. "The soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, while the soul of the diligent is richly supplied." In Proverbs 21:25, the desire of the sluggard kills him, for his hands refuse to labor. So the lazy person isn't satisfied. The lazy person, maybe their mind is filled with all the things they wish they had, but because they're never willing to actually work for it, those wishes will never actually be fulfilled. It ultimately brings destruction. Right? The sluggard can be hungry or need clothing or something that they actually need in life, and they want it, but they're not willing to actually work for it, to get up and do something about it. And ultimately, it says the desire of the sluggard kills him. It's like starving himself because his hands refuse to labor. It's just not worth it to put in the effort to work. The lazy person always wants, but is never willing to work for it. And then finally, adds unnecessary difficulty to his life. Remember, at one of our first lessons when we looked at this, it said that Proverbs isn't giving promises. It's not a health and wealth gospel that says if you do all these things, your life will be great and you won't have any problems. Because that's not true. You can be wise, just like Job was really wise. He had a ton of problems. So it's not saying that this is going to solve all the problems in your life. But what it will say is, as you pursue wisdom in the fear of the Lord, you're eliminating unnecessary problems to your life that you add to yourself as you live foolishly. And it's the same way with laziness. That's the wrong title there. Should say adds unnecessary difficulty to his life. Proverbs 15, verse 19. The way of the sluggard is like a hedge of thorns, but the path of the upright is a level highway. Again, this image of two roads. While the path of the wise is clear and straight, the path of the lazy person is covered in thorns. Think of an overgrown path that someone hasn't weeded, hasn't trimmed, hasn't cut in a long time. And so it's more difficult to navigate. It's difficult to walk through. There's thorns that are cutting you along the way. That's what laziness does in our life. That as we leave things undone in our lives, that has a cumulative effect. I'm bad at like landscaping my yard. I'm not good at that kind of thing. And it's really easy for me to just leave things. And I look out one day and I'm like, all right, looks the same as yesterday. Next day, it looks the same as yesterday. But then, weeks from now, all of a sudden, like things are just overgrown. And the problems are worse. In Proverbs 24, Solomon gives this story. It says, I passed by the field of a sluggard, by the vineyard of a man lacking sense. And behold, it was all overgrown with thorns. And the ground was covered with nettles, and its stone wall was broken down. Did that happen overnight? Didn't. Then I saw it and I considered. And I looked and I received instruction. And then he kind of tells us what the lazy person thinks. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. And poverty will come upon you like a robber and want like an armed man. Yeah, exactly. Just a little bit. I'm going to hit the snooze button one more time, right? And it's this idea of this rationalizing laziness and just continuing in it, and then before you know it, you've got a heap of problems that just seem insurmountable because we put it off and we put it off and we put it off and we put it off. Have you ever allowed your room to get so messy that just looking at your room is overwhelming? And you're like, how did that happen? How did that get that way? Well, picture that. Use that picture as a life of a lazy person. If you love laziness through your life, if your life is characterized by just doing what you feel like doing in the moment, never showing that self-control and self-denial to work and to accomplish something, there might come a point in your life when you look at mess after mess, problem after problem that has been created from laziness, and you ask the question, how did it get that bad? How did the stone wall get broken down and the ground be covered with nettles and everything overgrown with thorns? Just from a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands of rest, just continually excusing laziness. And before you know it, it's a big problem. Yeah?
I was just going to say, like, this is really convicting if you think about your guys' education right now.
Yeah.
And your attitude toward your education.
Yeah.
And if I said, how many of you like are planning on going to college, or at least how many of your parents want you to go to college, you all would raise your hand. When you think about the stuff that you're learning right now, that stuff is going to be applied in college. Mm-hmm. It's not like you forget about it.
Right.
And so think about the way you view doing your schoolwork, doing homework, how much of you that you commit to getting that stuff and having it like down on lock, so that way I can recall it and I can practice it and regurgitate it when I need to. Mm-hmm. Right? It's not just I love learning, so like I understand I'm a different creature, but that same diligence is what I mean. I see tons of kids when I was teaching middle school that didn't care about what they were learning in middle school. And they thought that, oh, it's no big deal. When I'm a junior or when I'm a senior, I'll make better grades and then I'll graduate. And I would tell them, the habits that you create now, the way you view school now, and the way you view homework and the attitudes that you have about it are being developed that are going to carry you from now all the way to the end of high school.
Yep.
So if you stink at it now and you're like, whatever, I don't care, it's not going to change when you become a junior, right? It's not like you can flip a switch and be like, okay, I can do this now.
Yep.
No, you can't, right? And it just doesn't work that way. So
again, when you guys are thinking about your education and your schoolwork and how that affects, you know, college and life and moving forward and the job and all that other stuff, this does reap that on the back end.
Yeah.
Believe it. Like, it's not just like parents saying that to you or teachers saying that to you, right? Like, if you really do reap what you sow.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, just think of it in a smaller span of time. You have a test coming up, right? And you're like, that's there. You don't focus, you don't study, you don't listen to the lessons leading up to the test. How are you at the moment of test time? Unprepared, nervous, you know, uncertain. Now zoom out and apply that to what Mr. V was just saying. High school, college, after college, right? You know, you waste time now and form those habits now instead of doing your best and working hard in the moment, then you get to that next step, like that next test, and feel woefully unprepared and inadequate. And you can't just flip a switch, like Mr. V was saying, and automatically become diligent. And that goes, that's the same way, just as it is from high school to college, it's the same way from college, graduating from college into adulthood. One sad truth that I had to learn is once you become an adult, you don't automatically become mature. You know, you have to actually work at it. Yeah, great.
Another thing is, like, if you don't study for a test, so, like, it was a friend's mom. So someone, she was, like, studying for something, and she didn't study for the test.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, the night before, she, like, pored over the books and stayed up till, like, 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
And then she ate the test.
Uh-huh.
But, like, if you had asked her even 2 weeks later what were the answers on
right.
the test,
yeah.
she would have been able to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, even if you, like, put it all off and then do it all then, it's, like, not long term.
Right, absolutely.
It lasts a couple days.
Yeah, yeah. You can be a good test taker without actually learning anything. Yeah, absolutely. And so what does it say in this passage? It says, when you look at what Mr. B just described, right, when he's seen this in high school students time and time again. Do you look at that, just like he does, I saw it and I considered, and I looked and I received instruction. Like, I don't want that to happen to me, right? I want to make sure that I'm putting in the work. So, what does Proverbs give as the alternative? Okay, this is real simple. I'm going to kind of give just the blunt, simple answer, and then we're going to talk about where God's grace comes in, because that's important. Proverbs says, number one, work ahead. And number two, work hard. Work ahead and work hard. You've probably heard these proverbs here in Proverbs 6. Go to the ant, O sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. Well, what's the ant doing? Well, without having any chief or officer or ruler or parent or teacher, she prepares her bread in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. What's she doing? She's working ahead. She's saying, there will come a time when I won't have the opportunity to do this, so I need to do this now so I'm prepared for the future. How long will you lie there, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber and want like an armed man, just like we saw in Proverbs 24. So, he gives us these pictures, I think, to help us see down the road and realize, wow, my decisions now do have built-in consequences to it. But let's talk a little bit about the grace of God. Because I think, if nothing else, my laziness, reveals to me how weak my flesh is. Like, I can need to do something and want to do it, but I just can't bring myself to do it. I'm just so lazy. My flesh is weak. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's just singing and enjoying it, and it's like, yeah, I can do that later.
Uh huh.
Meanwhile, the ant's working and toiling away.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, he's like, oh wait, I should have done that.
Mm-hmm.
And he regrets not listening to him, and he has to take refuge with the person he was saying, no, that's stupid. I don't need to do that.
Yeah. And you see the payoff for the ant, right? That really you're working so that you're putting yourself in a better position down the road. You either enjoy yourself now and regret it later, or you put in the work now and enjoy the payoff later. Yeah, it's a good one. I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, because it is true that when we look at our own laziness and our tendency towards it, my own tendency towards it, my heart cries out, God, I need your grace. I'm a piece of work. I struggle with laziness so much, and like in Romans 7, the things I want to do, I don't do, and the things I don't want to do, those I do. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 11, Paul gives us a glimpse into his mission. That the chapter of 1 Corinthians begins with the gospel, what Jesus did, that Jesus died to save sinners, and he was buried and he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. And this is the purpose of our life, that the reason why we're here is because we believe Jesus died on a cross for our sins, in our place, offers us his forgiveness and his grace free of charge to those who believe on him and confess his name. And because of that, as we see in the first opening verses of 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says, I'm going to work. I'm going to work hard. 1 Corinthians 15:11 says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. So two thoughts here when we think about how does God's grace help us in our laziness. Well, number one, we work because of God's grace. He says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. When he says the grace of God, what's he talking about? He's talking about the gospel. He's talking about what Jesus did for him, that he saved him, that he died for him. And he says, God's grace to me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them. I exerted myself. I stayed focused. I worked harder on the task that God had given me as his servant because he did so much for me. Paul knew better than anyone that he didn't deserve to be saved by Jesus. He was an enemy before. But then when he saw Jesus and saw clearly that Jesus died for his sins and commissioned him and gave him a calling, Paul is committed to not waste his life. He would use every day to work as hard as he could for the glory of God. And he did this because of the grace that he had been shown. So as we think about the cure for our laziness, and oftentimes we're lazy because we just lack motivation, what's Paul using as motivation in this verse? The grace of God, right? What Jesus did for me. And his grace to me is not going to be in vain. I'm not going to waste the time and the resources that God has given me. But then in the same verse, right after he says, I worked harder than any of them, what does he say? He kind of clarifies himself, doesn't he? He says, but it wasn't me. I worked harder than any of them, but it wasn't me. It was the grace of God within me. So I work hard because of God's grace, and I work by God's grace. Paul knew that any work he could accomplish was only through the strength of God's grace in his life. It was God's grace at work, not him. All right? So if we're looking at this lesson and we're thinking, man, I'm lazy. I'm really lazy. We realize that the solution is not in us, is it? It's not just, well, I just got to grit my teeth and work harder. No, I mean, we do need to work harder. We do sometimes need to grit our teeth and to stick it out and to just deny ourselves and to focus even when we don't want to. But where does the strength for that come from? It comes from the grace of God. God's grace becomes our motivation. And God's grace becomes the way in which we actually work. It's all because of him. And we receive his grace as we fellowship with him. And that's why the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. As we know him more and we read his word and we talk to him in prayer, we receive his grace. We grow in grace. And as we grow in grace, our purpose is clear. Our mission is clear. Our meaning is clear. And that produces hard work. Not just laziness, not, well, I'm just going to live day by day however I feel like it in the moment. But I want to live my life for Christ because he did so much for me. Like I said, this was convicting for me. And as I was reading through this, I'm like, yep, here's three or four things that I really need to be working on. And perhaps that's the same for you too. But thank God that he saved lazy people too. I'm really thankful for that. And he grows and he redeems and he strengthens lazy people like me. And by his grace I can grow and work by his grace for him. Any thoughts, questions, profound remarks?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry about that. Thank you. Typo. Yes, that's 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10. Thank you, Mrs. B. Yeah, and that's an important verse, so make sure you get the right reference for that. All right. Yeah.
Next, will that not be out of order?
What will not be out of order? Who knows? We'll have to get the maintenance person to look at that. Yeah. All right. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time together. Thank you for the fun that we can have. Most importantly, we thank you for your word and how it guides us and strengthens us. Lord, you all have given us a task to do. I know for everyone here, you know, just schoolwork is a task that I'm sure is a tough thing to stay focused on. Pray that they'd be able to take the lessons and the Proverbs that we looked at tonight and apply that even to their schoolwork. To do it to your glory and by your grace. Whatever task you have for us, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to work ahead, to work hard, in that it would be driven by our relationship with you and in the grace that you give us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.